Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, and this is episode 93, titled, What is So Unique About Emerson's Message to Mothers? And this will be kind of referencing the new mother and son book, The Respect Effect, that came out on April 5th, and we're going to be going through some of that content and hopefully giving you useful material, but also piquing your interest in this subject. If you haven't had a chance to check out last week's episode, that was titled, Why Do Good-Willed Wives Feel Frustrated? And we've done a few kind of back-to-back series here in the last month or so where we kind of focused on husbands, then we focused on wives. And I know there's been a lot of good feedback, you know, related to that. But I also wanted to say thank you here. I was pleasantly surprised when I went to iTunes the other day, and when I last checked about 5 or 6 days ago, there were 114 five-star reviews in there. And I think the last time I checked, there've been something like 60 something. And that was just remarkable to me. And we're so grateful for you guys as listeners doing that. And if you haven't had a chance to do that, I mean, I think it would be neat to you know, see it go over that 150 mark, 200 mark. We're still in the top 100 in the religion and spirituality category, but I think that says a lot about what kind of needs the content is meeting. And so, you know, whether that's iTunes with the podcast or our products and Amazon, whether it's this new mother and son book or other books, it really means a lot, you know, when you do them. I mean, I think the last time I checked with the Love and Respect book, which has obviously been out for 10 plus years, there's something like, you know, nearing 2,400, you know, reviews on that. And I think it helps people when they come to it. I know when I go to Amazon or other places, I mean, if something's got no reviews, nothing, I may still be interested in it, but I'm certainly not as interested in it if 50 people have commented on it and given me some input. So thank you for doing that in iTunes. We challenge you to continue to do that, and we're grateful. And then in other areas in Amazon with our other products, it means a lot to us. So thank you.
Yeah, and I would just echo that. You know, I am a product, I think, of the same culture now we live in. I will flip by something that doesn't have positive reviews. And so even on the Love and Respect book, which you referenced, that has so many reviews, I never have asked anybody for a review. That's what I think has been so encouraging about that. But we're changing our tune for podcasts because we want your feedback if this has been helpful, because I think we have more of a personal interaction with you. Only if it's really been helpful and you're, you know, and we seem to have such depth of appreciation for what we're doing. So if you're in that category and haven't made a comment, you have credibility. And when people see that, hey, this is an appreciated podcast. I mean, we don't have, you know, a platform. I don't have a television ministry. We don't have a radio ministry. And the fact that we're 90 in the spiritual religious podcast says a great deal about the value that many are feeling that we're bringing to them. And that has blessed Jonathan and me. So if you're in that category and you haven't made a comment, please do, because it really does influence, because I'd probably pass by my own podcast if it didn't have any good reviews.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I feel less sheepish about asking for people to give a review on your products than you have over the years. But I think it's a common practice with just some gratefulness, you know, kind of behind it. If you believe in what we're providing, we're honored that you would consider doing that. So, but jumping into today's topic, what is so unique about Emerson's message to mothers? Or I guess said another way, what is unique about this new book that came out recently, Dad?
Well, and that is why I wrote it, because as you know, the Love and Respect Marriage Conference, and you know, many mothers attend who are wives and have sons, and they said, you know, this respect message to my husband applies to my boy. And let me make a sidebar comment. If you're a man listening, think, well, this isn't relevant to me. It is relevant to you for two reasons. One, I have been stunned at how many men watch their wives in relationship to their boys and don't know exactly how to say, honey, I think you're coming across in a way that is a little bit too heavy here. He doesn't know exactly what to say because he knows she's a better parent. I know mom was a better parent than me, and I did my dissertation on effective fathers. So I think men are a little bit cautious, and I want you to listen in today because I think it'd give you insight on what to say to her. I think also you're an adult son, and this will give you insight as to why you're damaged from your mother. Not really, but I think it'll give you some, I think, wisdom on the effects of moms and why we sometimes feel a struggle in our soul as men, because our moms have influenced us. We know they love us, but we didn't know that they necessarily liked us or respected us. And this is a hugely deflating thing to many guys. So if you're a male...
Well, but I think even an adult male, you know, if listening to this could recognize that I think my mom did some of these things growing up and even now, and I can return the favor by esteeming and honoring her and how she treated me.
Well, and that's your proclivity to see the positive. I have a tendency to shame people. You have a way of affirming them. So thank you for balancing that. But that's exactly well said, and it needs to be said because I was taking the tack, well, this isn't relevant to me, but it can be from a standpoint of discovering something about yourself. But even more so, as you're saying, hey, deeply appreciate the input that your mom did give to you and honor her for honoring you. So we'll jump into it at this point. But the uniqueness about this message is related to the idea of respect, the message of respect to sons. It's not just that sons ought to respect their mothers, which the family book addresses. We unpacked how to motivate your kids to be more honoring and respectful. But this tack is actually saying, hey, moms, you have the opportunity to energize, to influence, to persuade, to motivate your boy by meeting a need in him that you don't always understand. So we're going to look at this message of respect as being unique compared to the message of love. Mothers love to love. It's within their nature to nurture, as we've talked about. But this message of respect is different, and it's unique. Also, the outcome of respect is unique and different. And we're going to share what mothers have communicated, because these mothers started writing me after the marriage conferences, Emerson, you can't believe what happened when I applied this to my boy. And the book, Mother and Son, The Respect Effect, consists of hundreds of testimonies from these mothers. And then also the thirst for respect is unique in boys compared to girls. And we want to look at that. We won't probably get into what I call the heedlessness of respect due to feminism, which has kind of put us in a unique position, maybe worldwide, almost antagonistic against boys now. Not mean-spirited, but we're just, if you bring up boys, immediately people hijack and say, what about girls? And then also I look at in this blog that you could read about the biblical perspective on that. What does the Bible say about men? Does it highlight anything? And then I'm excited about the book, and we won't talk about that today. It's really kind of like an encyclopedia. I've used it as a resource that mothers can go to based on the ages and stages and the different felt needs, but we won't look at the format of the book, but I wanted to give you a heads up on that. But
for now, there's going to be about 6 points in an upcoming blog in the next few weeks or so, and we're going to cover about 3 of them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we're going to look today. The message of respect is unique, the outcome of respect is unique, and the thirst for respect in boys is unique.
Okay.
But Jonathan, on that point, the message of respect, this first one is unique compared to the message of love, and I call it respect talk. But I want you to read some of the testimonies, because these illustrate how mothers listened to what I was saying, and they began to use just a few, and here's the beautiful thing, so easy, just a few different vocabulary words, and I want you to read what these mothers had to say. There are several here.
Sure. Mom wrote, my relationship with my 22-year-old son improved overnight. Who knew that? Simple changes in words could make such a difference. Now I tell him how much I appreciate him, and he tears up. Before, I told him I loved him and got back, I know, I love you too. Learning the right words to get my feelings across in a way that can be assimilated was so easy.
And I love what she said there. It's just so easy, and sometimes I think mothers begin to move into shame right away because they think we're saying you've done it wrong. No, you haven't done it wrong, and you shouldn't stop doing what you have been doing. But in this instance, just using a few different words you know, and I love it, you know, and you perhaps have an older son who says, I know you love me, Mom. You tell me, I know that, but I don't think you like me, Mom. And that's the point. But it's easy. So just relax if you're a mother thinking, oh, what's Emerson going to say that's going to end up shaming me? We're not going to go there. And don't you go there, okay? But read this next one, Jonathan.
Another one wrote, when my son gives me his insight, I say, I really respect what you have to say, or I respect the way you handled that situation, or I really respect how you are taking initiative to get things done and follow through with these things have made my son smile like I have never seen. I talk more about respect with regard to sporting events and showing respect for other opponents. My son knows without a doubt that I love him. Now I feel he knows that I value him and his ideas, which I may not have done so well in the past.
Yeah, well said. This is how you apply that respect talk. And just using the word respect, and sometimes I think mothers think, well, that's not highly energizing to me, so therefore, you know, it's not that I wouldn't say something like that, but I wouldn't necessarily think about doing or not thinking about doing, and what relevance does it really have? Just trust me. Just as a father, you know, well, why is it so important for me to tell my daughter that I love her? Well, every woman in the room rolls her eyes. There is a sense that, you know, women have. Why would you even be making that statement, husband, father? I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, I want you to know that your boy intuitively senses the power of this, and this is a great set of statements that she's made and made a slight adjustment. But she said, I may not have done that in the past, but now she's more conscientious about it, and the results were very powerful with her boy. Read this next one.
We have four children, two boys and two girls. Our boys are in the middle and are in the middle and 16 months apart. Our boys were arguing, bickering, and annoying each other on purpose around ages 9 and 10. I would remind them to be nice or show kindness, and their actions would change for the moment, but it didn't reach their hearts. As I applied the respect principle to them and said things such as, you aren't showing your brother respect when you, fill in the blank, or you show your friends respect, so you need to extend that same respect to your brother, it was life-changing. It spoke to their hearts. Don't get me wrong. They still have disagreements at 13 and 14, but they are quick to resolve them, and they are best friends.
This is powerful. Now, she'd been doing this for a couple years because, you know, she started, I think, when their age is 9 and 10, and now they were, she says, 13 and 14. So this is significant, and I always like long-term testimony like this. But and this is something important for me to say. Sometimes when we bring up the idea of respect, mothers will say, well, I tell them to be nice, or I try to be nice to them. Well, we're not talking about nice. Men filter that word differently. If you think that we're talking here about speaking words that are respectful or appealing to him to be respectful, which is comparable to saying being nice, she is a classic illustration that boys don't hear the same message. I mean, she was telling them, she said, be nice, be nice. And she said it would affect them short term, but it didn't have the same impact as when she said, you aren't showing your brother respect, or you show your friends respect, so you need to extend that same respect to your brother. Why? God, I think, put in the DNA of boys what we call the honor code. And what the mother was doing was appealing to that sense of honor, the sense that you're an honorable boy, you're becoming an honorable man. And honorable men act respectfully. It was an appealing thing to something deep within, and she recognized the impact of that. So in the book, we go through, you know, dozens of illustrations of this, showing that this message is different than the love message. Now, we're not saying you don't share that I love you or hug them. We're not talking about stopping that. We're talking about adding to that. And every so often, you don't have to do it every day. Too much cake makes anybody, you know, sick. And boys may be a little bit different. Girls may be the daily affirmation, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, to, you know, daughters and so on and so forth. But boys don't necessarily need it every day because that can kind of cheapen it. But at the appropriate moment, when you genuinely and sincerely say some of these things, it gets their attention big times because it's in their DNA. So the message of respect is unique. And that's why we wrote this book, because no one is really unpacking it. They aren't addressing it as we have done here.
So that's point number one. The message of respect is unique compared to the message of love.
Now, the second point, the outcome of respect is unique according to the mothers themselves. And how so? Mom started writing me, Jonathan, telling me about the greater connectivity. And as we've talked about before, women want to connect. When you hear women talk, they'll say, oh, we're connecting. And that kind of goes over the heads of men. But if you stop and realize what they're saying is this is a huge value. That's why women want to talk, because then they feel connected. It's a little bit abstract to us. It's not necessarily energizing to us as men. But I will tell you that when we're honored, we soften and we do connect. And in fact, when we feel this true respect coming at us, we tend to react less negatively. It's not necessarily we become perfect boys, so to speak, but the tension that sometimes we have, maybe it was a -8, goes to a -3. It's not as intense, the negative reaction. So they were saying, in effect, I applied this respect talk, and I had a greater sense of connectivity and less negative reaction. So, Jonathan, read some of these moms' comments.
When I began the respect principles, he seemed calmer, less frustrated, less internally agitated. My respect seemed to release his internal tension and more loving. He has been coming up to me, and instead of acting out for attention, he will hug me, look right into my eyes, smile the sweetest, happiest smile, and say, "You're the best mom in the world." Wow. Nothing quite that wonderful has ever happened between us before. Being respectful to him has triggered his affection for me. I am seeing beautiful and meaningful results. It's like a little miracle. The connection and affection I long to have with my son has finally come.
Yeah. This boy was 7 years of age to insert that information. And this is what we call the energizing cycle. His love, we say, in a marriage motivates her respect, and her respect motivates his love. But so too here, mom's respect actually motivates the boy's affection, that connectivity, the softening of the spirit. Now, will any boy do this every day on the heels of some respectful comment? Absolutely not. Not any more than if a dad says to his teenage daughter that he loves her, that that's going to calm her down when she just got a note from her former boyfriend that he no longer wants to be considered her boyfriend. So, but nonetheless, long term, there is going to be this impact. Read the next mother.
In talking to my sons on the phone, I thought I would try out the respect thing. Instead of always ending our conversation with, "I love you," I said, "I respect," and parenthetically she put, I made it personal to their situation. So she would say, "I respect," and then kind of fill in the blank. One son got quiet and then said, "Thank you, Mom," which really touched my heart. Another son, who was more distant from us emotionally and spiritually, also got quiet and then said, "I love you," which he seldom says first or responds to when I say it. To me, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that mothers were saying is they know their boys and they know the response of boys. Women are very intuitive, very sensitive, and they can pick up on these subtleties. And when mothers like this would write, they're in effect saying, this was colossal. I mean, I'm telling you, this was different. This was unique. This is the respect effect. It worked. Now, both these boys were in their 20s, and but she said, I thought I'd try out this respect thing. And I want to say, yes, you should. But also, we're talking about the fact that this is a need in the boy. You don't just try this out to see whether it's going to work or not. The bottom line is, he has a need to feel respected for who he is deep in his spirit, apart from his performance. And just as you love your daughter apart from her performance, you don't stop loving her. And so the idea that maybe this is just a theory that I'll try out kind of misses the point and cheapens it. And if your boy senses that you're doing this not to motivate him but to manipulate him, you'll lose him a little bit here. So I want you to see this as a commitment you make over a long period of time to meet a need that this boy has. And we'll look at a moment in our next principle, don't girls need respect? Yes, we'll see that in just a moment. So hang on to that thought, because but there is a gender difference, and I want you to know that a boy has a need for this in a way that girls don't, not because girls don't need respect, but because they don't filter certain conversations through the respect grid, or they don't interpret certain comments that mom is making as disrespectful, and we'll address that. But Jonathan, read this next mother.
She wrote, "We have two boys, and our oldest is almost 11. I know that he feels a lot of pressure on him to be a good example to his three younger siblings. I tell him I love him all the time, but I had never considered telling him I respect him. This last Tuesday, I was cleaning his room and I found a note he had written. It said, failure equals his name. He is very hard on himself. I was devastated. I knew something had to change, and that something was us, his parents. We need to show him that we respect him. Before he got home from school, I made 12 notes and taped them around his room and hid them in places such as drawers and under his pillow. I love you. I respect you. I respect your ideas. I am so proud of you. You are the most creative person I know. You are a great big brother. As soon as he got home and saw the obvious ones I had posted, he ran to me and gave me a hug. His eyes were sparkling, and he was so excited. He immediately took the notes and made a board that said, compliment board, and taped them all to it. I have written him letters in the past to tell him I love him and how much he means to me, but telling him I respect him went over the top. I have made a vow to respect my son and treat him like I want his future spouse to treat him. Hmm.
See, and these are the kinds of letters and emails that mothers were sending. And this is powerful, powerful stuff. And I was talking to Dr. Meg Meeker yesterday, family talk with Dr. Dobson, and they interviewed, we'll probably have several broadcasts on that. And Meg is an expert on the mother-son relationship, the father-daughter relationship. And we were just talking about the power of this and how mothers are being awakened to this because no one really has coached them on this. And it's like, wow, I mean, here's a boy who's feeling like a failure. And the respect message, sincerely given, brought him up out of that personal sense of inadequacy. And this is something that we needn't just look at as a technique, but again, as I referenced, this is a need that boys have. And what better person than mom to speak into this during this developmental time period? And of course, it goes from four-year-old to 40. It really is age indifferent in that regard, but you can see these moments in a child's life where that experience could set the course for the rest of his life, and it is potent. So now the third point, the thirst for respect is unique in boys compared to girls, and the research reveals this. Jonathan, read what I quoted there from the female brain.
Luann Brizendine wrote, "Relationship conflict is what drives a teen girl's stress system wild. She needs to be liked and socially connected. A teen boy needs to be respected."
Wow. Isn't that fascinating? From this, and she's a physician and researcher. I think she taught at Harvard. She's somehow related to Harvard. She's written a lot of great stuff. But I found it fascinating that when a boy and girl are under stress, the girl's default is to, am I being liked and am I being socially connected? Whereas the teen boy, she said, is asking the question basically, am I respected? And what's sad here is that we've kind of dismissed these boys as maybe potentially narcissistic, because if you filter this through the female grid, what's respect got to do with it? But if you filter it through our grid, this is huge. We serve and die for honor. Respect motivates us to give our very lives. We don't see it as a negative thing. We don't see it as egotistical. And so this researcher unpacks this difference. And so, again, the point I made earlier, and I'll make it now, one of the reasons we're talking about boys needing this is they tend to filter their social situations, the stressful situations, through the respect grid. Can they be dead wrong for their interpretation? Yeah, look at gangs. I mean, it's all about being dissed and being dishonored and how they end up killing somebody over something that had nothing to do with disrespect or dishonor, but because they felt disrespected and dishonored, they took somebody's life. So it can be a complete a perversion and wrong. But if you don't get in tune with what they're thinking and be able to coach them on how to rightly interpret the situations and not be dismissive of their, you know, need for respect, but work with them, then you can bring about a great deal of healing. But quote for Parents Only by Shanti Feldhahn, our friend and researcher. She surveyed, surveyed boys and girls. I made the point that girls, she said, strongly lean from their research toward a need to feel loved, and boys strongly lean toward a need to feel respected. Again, you can see it if you pay attention to it, but I think there's been a tendency to dismiss this in the culture. And I also quote this research just to reinforce this maleness. Jonathan, pick up on what I said about that research that she did toward the 400 American males.
She has 400 American males, which is a nearly perfect random sample. This question, or was a nearly perfect random sample. Would you rather be left alone and unloved in the world, or viewed as inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Nearly 75% of the men said they'd rather be left alone and unloved in the world. When men hear the message, "I find you inadequate and do not respect who you are as a human being," these men lose motivation to connect heart to heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So God designed boys different from girls. I mean, Jesus said, "Have you not read, who made them from the beginning made them male and female?" And girls do need respect from mom. Let's point this out very clearly here, but they do not interpret mom's upset as disrespectful. They do not hear the message, "I find you inadequate and do not respect you." And research reveals that when women feel hurt and want to resolve the relational tension, they do so because they care. But the way in which they proceed appears contemptuous to men and boys. Her face turns sour. She sighs. She rolls her eyes. She puts her hand on her hip. She scolds with her finger. And her word choice of disrespect can cause the leader of a motorcycle gang, you know, to wince or sober a drunken sailor at that moment. Daughters, on the other hand, identify with mom's upset. They intuitively know. So when mom comes at her, she knows this is not about disrespect, but the need to patch things up and connect again. Boys think mom doesn't respect them. Jonathan, read what this mother of a 5-year-old boy wrote.
"One night while putting our sons to bed, my 5-year-old, in the midst of my monologue about how much I loved him, looked at me sadly and said, 'Mom, are you proud of me?' Shocked, I expressed immediately that I was, of course, proud of him. He asked forlornly, 'Then why don't you ever tell me so?' Ever since then, I have worked to hold back on my desire to grab him up off the floor and smother his cheek with kisses, and instead, I practice putting one hand on his shoulder and telling him I'm proud of him. He responds to that simple gesture by puffing out his chest and replying, 'Thanks, Mom,' with a nod of his head, and he walks away feeling more valued than if I'd kissed his cheek for a year."
Wow. I mean, this is potent, and all this stuff started coming from moms telling me, "Look what's happening, Emerson. This is unbelievable." So I want to say, if you're a mother out there, please consider applying this. And we give a quick start thing in the book about what you can do immediately and how to go about doing this right away, and some simple little approaches to this. Jonathan, we need to, though, circle back around to maybe the men who have been listening, because we referenced this. Do you have some thoughts on that? Particularly, let's say the guy who's, and I can make my comment here about this, as you referenced earlier, hey, if you had a mom that really was one who honored you and respected you and does today, you know, I would be quick to thank her, write her a note, say, "Mom, you know what? I think that there are mothers out there who didn't get what you got." In fact, let me insert that I've had teachers tell me, I see mothers, single mothers out there who go between, you know, hostility and appeasement toward their boys, hostility and appeasement. And it's kind of like what I call the teeter-totter. I mean, it's up and down. And some sons have been subjected to that, and they don't know, you know, what to think. You know, you say, "Does your mommy love you?" Yes. But does she like you? No. Does she respect you? No. And there's some deep-seated doubts because of the way the mother is, you know, without mean-spirited, but she's fit to be tied, and she's going to use disrespect to motivate the boy to be obedient. And you can't do that long-term with great impact. He'll close off in the same way that a dad says, "Well, when I'm harsh and angry at my daughter, she obeys me." Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. We all know where that's going to go. And so, too, contempt and disrespect toward a boy is going to close him off. But those of you who are adult sons, if you had a mother who was very guarded in this regard, and she believed in you, she admired you, she looked up to you, she respected you, you need to be quick to acknowledge that and express your thanks for that. But Jonathan, do you have a comment about that, or even about a son who may have had a mother who did speak disrespectfully to him, and on an ongoing basis in a chronic sense? And, you know, what advice would you have for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the sense where it felt like maybe this wasn't applied, you know, growing up, I mean, you know, you've got to be, you know, cautious, right? I mean, we're trying to apply broadly here when people have specific examples, which we always try to be, you know, cautious with. We don't know people's unique circumstances, but, you know, in the sense that, yeah, I mean, there may be a relationship stance that, you know, at this point where it's not appropriate to approach them if there was, you know, mistreatment or disrespect or whatever the case, you know, may be. But, you know, some, you know, it may be an opportunity to, you know, to revisit, you know, a relationship with mom, you know, based on this, and to move towards her, you know, softly. And maybe someday that leads to a conversation around something like this. I think with the boy or man who in this case remembers his mom, you know, doing some of these things to thank her. And if there's grandsons at this point to thank her for what she continues to do with the next, you know, generation, you know, in applying this. I guess one of my questions for you is, you know, as we think about a mom with a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and there's moms listening that goes, man, I blew this and my kids are out of the home now. I feel like such a failure. I mean, any comments on that front?
Yeah, I address that in the book, and that's why mom says, you know, hey, you're never too old, you're never too young, and a boy is never too old, never too young. And so you the thing about boys, they're very forgiving, and all you'd have to do is write a note. You know what? I think I've dishonored you, and I need to seek your forgiveness. You don't need to go into it at length, but say, you know, I have really failed to honor you, and I just want you to know that I feel horrible about that. That in and of itself could, and it has created major breakthroughs with sons. But we coach a mother in that situation and how to approach that adult son. That's why, though, this is the way that healing can come. This is precisely the avenue to go down to bring about that healing. He knows you love him, but he doesn't necessarily think you like him. And I was going to say to that adult son, one of the things this message should say to you is mothers are not intending to be disrespectful. And one of the things you can realize, maybe I have personal issues because I thought my mom was dissing me. And that really was the heart of the issue. And in listening today, I realized that's exactly it. That's it. I needed her respect. I needed people's respect, and they didn't give it to me. And then you could resent her. But the truth is, she never intended to be disrespectful. She was reacting for other reasons. So don't personalize that. Once you get in tune with, yeah, that was the heart of the issue, then secondly, ask, was she really intending to be that way? You know, there's some guys that are setting on some real resentments toward their moms, and they shouldn't be. Your mother's virtuous. She's good-hearted. She has you on her heart. So you don't need to resent her simply because she was ignorant of some of these things.
Well, this is an example of some of the other episodes we've done where, you know, I can't remember the specific name of it, but, you know, I am the way that I am because of, you know, how people have treated me, you know, in the past, right? And there's, you know, there's truth in that, and we know horrifically damaging, you know, situations. But is this an opportunity, if insight and realization comes around this, to say, you know, in some ways, in spite of this, right, I choose to move forward in a different way, and can maybe healing begin for the first time?
Well, absolutely, because once you realize what the heart of the issue is, that I was disrespected. And I didn't, you know, I had a need to be respected for who I was apart from my parents. I know that much of my behavior was not respectable, but somehow I felt I was creating the image of God, and somehow there was this sense that they had disdain toward who I was as a human being. And that's crippling at one level. And so, and if you're not even in tune with that being the reason, and then suddenly you realize it is, and then you say, okay, am I going to assign blame to my mother? You know, I'm reminded of the guy that had dinner with one of his best buddies, and he said, oh, last night I was having dinner with my mother, and I made a huge Freudian slip. And his buddy said, well, what was the Freudian slip? And he said, well, I meant to say, Mom, please pass the butter. But instead I said, you witch, you've ruined my life.
You love that joke.
I do love that joke. But the point is, you know, she was not a witch and she didn't ruin his life. And this was his issue. And one of the things I challenge guys with is it's so easy to assign blame. And that's when, furthermore, that's not a Freudian slip. It illustrates the guy's sitting on some major issues and he's going to... He's going to have to unpack that, and it's not about his mother. So the whole point of this podcast today isn't to challenge the adult male, but I wanted to include him and also humor him a little bit. But it can be, I mean, I remember I've talked about this guy that went to Harvard, and he said there were three people that he didn't like in his life, and he couldn't figure out why he didn't like them until he listened to my message, and he said, it's because they dishonored me. And then we had to really kind of unpack whether they intended to dishonor him. But so there's a two-phase thing here, and I want to challenge the adult male to get in tune with this and then think of a way how you're going to deal with this, but certainly don't, you know, conclude that your mother's a witch. That's highly unlikely. But back to the mothers, again, I am so excited about this message and the impact this can make on your boys and the honor that you're going to bring to his spirit and the motivation you're going to bring to him. I want you to be as excited about this as I am. Mm-hmm. But thank you. This blog is coming out with the other points, but hopefully this inspired you a bit today.
Yeah, and you can go to Mother and, that's A-N-D, motherandsonbook.com, and you can find all the links to places where you can purchase it. But there's also 6 videos on there called Mom Misconception Videos, which I think have some of the similar content to what we've, you know, talked about. But I think, Dad, you're kind of answering some kind of pushback that,
right,
that moms might have.
Right, the objections some moms give to this. Well, I need respect, or, you know, hey, he doesn't deserve respect. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and all those videos are right on there. Again, that's motherandsonbook.com. You can see these videos, a little bit more information, and then they'll be easy accessible links if you choose to kind of move towards the book and a more in-depth exploration of this topic.
And I just found out, you know, book's just been out since the 1st of April, and but we were number one on the new release list on Amazon in that category, or whatever category they had us in. So
I don't... Apparently it's random. I think it ended up in the marriage category. You don't have a lot of control over that, but I guess it did end up number one. And again, as we indicated, I mean, this podcast feels somewhat promotional and selfish, but again, if you do read it and you do like it, we appreciate the review. But there's lots of resources that we're coming out with that pertain to it that have a lot of meat to them, but the book certainly goes in more depth. So
yeah, well, I'm excited about it. Yeah, I apologize if it's been self-promoting, but I am pumped about this message, and so I do express sorrow if you feel that we're being self-promoting, but go ahead and buy it anyway.
Anyway, thanks for allowing us to approach this topic, and we hope to do more on these topics and continue, you know, what we've been doing. We're approaching 100 episodes, so take care. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.